This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:35 right now. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Julian Ng and Kusu Chuang here with me. We're going to be taking you all the way to 8 o'clock with the biggest business news of the day. In the headlines today, EPF is going to be introducing account a must for withdrawal up to the, at the age of 60. And Google has hit back at the EU over antitrust charges. Now, speaking about hitting back at the EU, in the UK, the High Court has ruled that the British government must consult Parliament before proceeding with formal negotiations over its withdrawal to from the EU. So now we're looking at a parliamentary vote, which could delay the Brexit process.
Well, yeah, and no surprises there. The pound, of course, surged, and now commentators are wondering whether Theresa May's deadline is now being called into question. We spoke to Tim Mulholland this morning, and, you know, basically it's a matter of time. I think this is just a little spanner in the works as far as market commentators are concerned. Expect maybe a drop back in the pound sterling once the narrative moves towards an appeal, perhaps, and firmer details on whether Brexit will actually happen.
So the person who was leading the anti-Brexit movement and took the step to lead the claim to block this vote in Parliament, or at least to suggest that the blocking of the vote in Parliament, is Gina Miller. She's an ex-hedge fund manager, and I'm not sure if you want someone to be on the side of the case of anti-Brexit, whether the hedge fund manager, a hedge fund manager or an ex-hedge fund manager would be the person, because hedge funds and the banking sector are exactly the reason why so many people feel disenfranchised about the system, right, about EU. It's like big pharma's opposing natural therapies, you know. So I think that a lot of people are coming around to the view that the vote was done wrongly, and a lot of people didn't know why they voted for Brexit.
Well, here she is, Gina Miller, the woman taking on Article, Theresa May's right to invoke Article 50.
The result today is about all of us. It's not about me or my team. It's about our United Kingdom and all our futures. The judgment, I hope, when it's read by the government and they contemplate the full judgment, that they will make the wise decision of not appealing, but pressing forwards and having a proper debate in our sovereign parliament, our mother of all parliaments that we are so admired for around the world. Thank you.
So Parliament must now vote on whether the UK can actually start the Brexit process. I think the government will appeal this ruling, and the further hearing is expected next month.
Well, can I just say, in relation to what Julian said about, you know, hedge fund managers and how potentially dangerous they are, I just want to point out that Gina Miller's fund is actually named True and Fair, which may be a bit of an anomaly in disguise, because I'd love to see what kind of position she's taken on the sterling and how long she is, because obviously with a soft Brexit, the pound sterling would probably appreciate against the dollar, and a hard Brexit would probably see a short decreasing pound sterling. Of course, in the wake of last night's decision by the High Court, you know, the sterling actually rallied to, I think, 122, 123 levels against the dollar. So, you know, I think the next move is really an appeal to the Supreme Court in the UK.
Yeah, I'm reminded of another case by another hedge fund manager. You might have heard of him, George Soros, in 1992.
Yeah, who also
made like really big statements about the pound. And in fact, his statements not directly led to it, but he basically made a lot of money from betting on his own words. And both are philanthropists, right?
Which is another anomaly in a way.
Whether that is an oxymoron or not, exactly. Hedge funds and philanthropy, it's up to you to decide. But, you know, it also raises the question of who really represents us. Is it the plebiscite that was directly taken to the masses and the public, or is it parliamentarians who can vote on our behalf, right?
You know, I had that conversation with Sherrod about 10 minutes ago to say that the referendum, again, is not mandatory. It was never meant to be mandatory. It was only advisory to get a gauge of what people wanted. And given, you know, the result of that, it was a very slim margin.
53%.
That wanted the Brexit. Can you use that as a gauge of the majority. It's not mandatory. It's advisory.
I mean, it's such an important decision. Should we subject this kind of decision to, let's say, a two-thirds ruling or a three-quarters ruling, as they have with many efforts to change the constitution? For example, you need a two-thirds majority to change that kind of decision.
Well, speaking about the EU, Google is fighting back at European Union accusations that it abused its dominant position with its internet shopping and advertising services. So yesterday, Google once again defended the way it places ads in some of its search results. Now, they claim that there's no evidence that those ads hurt price comparison websites.
Well, this has got interesting overtones and similarities with Microsoft and their Explorer browser back in the day when they were accused of having a monopolistic situation by putting their browsers on their Windows Explorer, on their Windows Explorer's operating system, Windows 95 or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah, there is also the bigger issue of how much cash a lot of these tech giants have. I mean, we're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars that are stashed away in foreign shores, right? And more recently, Apple had this tiff with the EU as well because they wanted to fine Apple about 15 billion pounds or something, or euros or something like that. And the Americans were really up in arms saying that, hey, we got first dibs on those money that's stashed overseas. Now, Google, essentially an American company, but truly global in their operations, now also facing that onslaught from European lawmakers about antitrust policies. I think this concerns something that's a very small part of the overall Google revenue, which is AdSense, right? AdSense is the kind of advertising that's shared between Google and third-party website owners on advertising revenue. The real part of Google's dominance is actually AdWords, direct advertisement placed on Google websites, and they earn the most money from that. And their position there looks so unassailable, right? If you compare Google's market share in search compared to all the other players, are basically nowhere. Google's dominate about 70% of the market.
Well, if you look at Google's percentage of market share for the search engine market, I mean, in places like Malaysia, in India, in France, in Germany, it's more than 90%. In fact, India is the highest, about 96%. Whereas what surprised me was in the US, it's about 60 to 70%. Well, I'm quite surprised that Google isn't, at a higher percentage.
Well, much more democratized, I guess, between what are the other ones? You know, Netscape,
Netscape.
What's that?
I just said the internet outside. What's the other one? Firefox, right? Safari, clearly.
Yes.
Bing probably would be there somewhere. Safari as well. But, you know, I guess it all stems from where, you know, everything begins and ends with search, because that's where your first port of call on the internet goes. And from there, you can go to messaging and email and whatnot. So, you know, obviously, you know, Google search being the predominant tool for them.
I think it's also very interesting what the EU is suggesting. Their idea of breaking up, as it were, Google is to allow some of these other search engines to share on the AdSense, is how I understand it. And Google is saying that doesn't make sense, because what you're really suggesting is for Google to subsidize some of these inferior search engines. And that was their answer to the EU. So I think the battle will continue. And I think, you know, based on this really complicated algorithm that Google has designed, right, it is really up to people to vote with their clicks, I guess, you know, if they don't want to use that. And all of us are exactly the basis of Google's dominance, right? It's because we are so used to
Or reliant,
I mean,
or addicted.
Google has become a word. I mean, Google.
Well, I think that the basis of the antitrust regulations is the fact that Google can basically, via its very, very secret and confidential algorithms, dictates what you see as a result of a search. And the accusation is that Google tailors the search to favor its own services.
I don't know if it's a secret, though. It's very, very complicated and it's very mysterious. But for the people who are in the know and who understand it, they, you know, I think consultancies have been established for advising you on how to.
Correct.
You know, the most expensive word on Google, do you know what that is?
No.
Is what?
No, I don't know. I just.
Yeah. It's insurance. I think usually when you click on a word, the advertiser would pay a few cents for that click, right? But for insurance, it's worth about $50 per click.
Yeah, you know, a friend of mine based on exactly that same interpretation, I mean, a friend of mine used to basically buy internet domain names, and he used to develop domain names. And the whole basis of how he made his money was basically click-throughs and advertising services. Every so often, Google would change the algorithm on him, and he have to reconfigure all his tags and keyword and meta searches again. So, for the EU to spend some time on this and say Google's being a bit unfair, has some basis,
The EU's taking on the giant.
Yeah.
7:45 right now. We'll be back with a look at the local business scene after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.